Welcome to Voter Information, the show that looks at elections in the city, the state, and the nation. I'm your election guru, Mark Braun here. Glad you could join us today. And a reminder, you're listening to our recording provided for the use of those who are blind or printed impaired. Materials or items read in Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Got it? Good. Well, we have a little bit more Proposition 50 news here. But first, we're going to start off with a special report from CNN.com and the mayoral race in New Orleans. So, here we go. This is called Democrat Helena Moreno Wins New Orleans Mayoral Race from the Associated Press, October 13, 2025. New Orleans. New Orleans Councilmember Helena Moreno was elected mayor Saturday in the race to succeed LaToya Cantrell, who was ending a turbulent second term shadowed by federal corruption charges. Moreno, 48, secured an outright victory with 55% of the vote, with all precincts reporting, according to preliminary results from the Louisiana Secretary of State. The Democrat avoided a runoff in a wide field by beating out Oliver Thomas, a fellow council member, and State Senator Royce Duplessis. She will take office in January. Cantrell, who could not run again because of term limits, was the first woman mayor in the city's 300-year history and later won re-election. But a rocky second term included clashes with the city council members and surviving a recall effort in 2022. In August, Cantrell was indicted over what federal prosecutors say was a years-long scheme to hide a romantic relationship with her former bodyguard. She has pleaded not guilty to charges of conspiracy, fraud, and obstruction. Moreno's campaign raised more than $3.4 million, more than any other candidate, and focused her platform on promoting public safety, economic development, and improved city services. Born in Mexico, Moreno moved to the U.S. when she was 8 years old. She arrived in New Orleans as a television reporter in the early 2000s before switching to politics, becoming a Louisiana state representative in 2010, and winning election as a New Orleans City Council member at large in 2017. The city elected a new mayor, as President Donald Trump had suggested that New Orleans could be one of his next targets to send the National Guard to fight crime. Republican Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry has also asked for a deployment, but the Trump administration has yet to make an announcement on the request. Moreno has said she opposes federal troops in New Orleans. That was Democrat Helena Moreno Wins New Orleans Mayoral Race from the Associated Press out of CNN.com. October 13th, 2025. All right, now back to Prop 50 news. This one is from the city and state section of the Los Angeles Times, Friday, October 10, 2025. Billionaire to spend $12 million to back redistricting. Hedge fund founder Tom Steyer says Prop 50 will help stop Trump's power grab, by Seema Mehta. As California voters receive mail ballots for the November special election, which could upend the state's congressional boundaries and determine control of the House, billionaire hedge fund founder Tom Steyer said Thursday he will spend $12 million to back Democrats' efforts to redraw districts to boost their party's ranks in the legislative body. The ballot measure was proposed by Governor Gavin Newsom and other California Democrats after President Trump urged Texas congressional leaders to redraw the congressional districts before next year's midterm election. Buttressing GOP numbers in Congress could help Trump continue enacting his agenda during his final 2 years in office. "We must stop Trump's election rigging power grab," Steyer said in a statement. "The defining fight through November 4 is passing Proposition 50. In order to compete and win, Democrats can't keep playing by the same old rules. This is how we fight back and stick it to Trump." Steyer's announcement makes him the biggest funder of pro-Proposition 50 efforts, surpassing billionaire financier George Soros, who has contributed $10 million to the effort. Steyer founded a hedge fund whose investments included massive fossil fuel projects, but after he learned of the environmental consequences of these financial decisions, he divested and has worked to fight climate change. Steyer has spent hundreds of millions of dollars supporting Democratic candidates and causes and more than $300 million on his unsuccessful 2020 presidential campaign. Steyer planned to launch a scathing ad Thursday night that imagines Trump watching election returns on November 4 and furiously throwing fast food at a television when he sees Proposition 50 succeeding. Why did you do this to Trump? The president asks. The ad then shows a fictional TV anchor saying that the ballot measure's success makes it more likely that Trump will be investigated for corruption and that the records of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein will be released. I hate California, Trump responds. The advertisement was scheduled to start airing Thursday night during Jimmy Kimmel Live. The late-night show was in the spotlight after it was briefly suspended by Walt Disney Company, co-owned ABC last month under pressure from the Trump administration because of a comment Kimmel made about the slaying of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. The esoteric process of redistricting typically occurs once every decade after the U.S. Census to account for population shifts. The maps, historically drawn in smoke-filled backrooms, protected incumbents and created bizarrely shaped districts, such as the Ribbon of Shame along the California coast. In recent decades, good government advocates have fought to create districts that are logical and geographically compact and do not disenfranchise minority voters. At the forefront of the effort, California voters passed a 2010 ballot measure to create an independent commission to draw the state's congressional boundaries. But this year, Trump and his allies urged leaders of GOP-led states to redraw the congressional districts to boost Republicans' prospects in the midterm election. The House is closely divided, and retaining Republican control is crucial to Trump's ability to enact his agenda. California Democrats, led by Newsom, responded in kind. The state legislature voted in August to call a special election in November to decide on redrawn districts that could give their party five more seats in the state's 52-member congressional delegation, the largest in the nation. Supporters of Proposition 50 have vastly outraised the committees opposing the measure. Steyer's announcement came one day after Charles Munger Jr., the largest donor to the opposition, spoke up publicly for the first time about why he had contributed $32 million to the effort. I'm fighting for the ordinary voter to have an effective say in their own government, Munger told reporters. I don't want Californians ignored by the national government because all the districts are fortresses for one party or the other. A longtime opponent of gerrymandering, the bow-tie-wearing Palo Alto physicist bankrolled the 2010 ballot measure that created the independent commission to draw California's congressional districts. Munger, the son of a billionaire who was the right-hand man of investor Warren Buffett, declined to comment about whether he planned to give additional funds. I neither confirm nor deny rumors that involved the tactics of the campaign, Munger told reporters. Talk to me after the election is over. That was billionaire to spend $12 million to back redistricting by Seema Mehta from the City and State section of the Los Angeles Times, Friday, October 10, 2025. Right now, here's something from the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, October 12, 2025. Who is spending on Prop 50 redistricting battle? By Gabriel Lamar, Lemmy, and Sandhya Kamhampati. Proposition 50 would shift the state's congressional district lines to favor Democrats. It is Governor Gavin Newsom's response to a similar effort in Texas designed to put more Republicans in Congress. The new district lines would override those created by a nonpartisan independent redistricting commission. Supporters include Democratic politicians and party organizations and labor unions. Newsom said it needed to counter President Trump's and protect Californians. Republicans opposed the measure, arguing partisan maps would take the state backward. The Times is tracking contributions to one committee supporting Proposition 50 and two committees opposing it. Many other committees have raised funds and contributed to these main committees. Separately, Tom Steyer, hedge fund founder and former presidential candidate, spent $12.6 million on media production and placement in support of Proposition 50. Since the proposal was announced in August, donations supporting the measure have poured in. The Times is tracking contributions to the main fundraising committee supporting Proposition 50, which is controlled by Newsom. House Majority PAC, which aims to elect Democrats to the U.S. House of Representatives, is the top donor with nearly $11 million. George Soros' Fund for Policy Reform is second with $10 million. Labor unions are also major supporters. The measure has received support from several business executives and philanthropist donors, including Michael Moritz, Gwendolyn Sondheim, and Reed Hastings. More than 66,000 donors gave $100 or more. About 12% of the total raise, $11 million, came from small donor contributors or those who gave less than $100. The Times is also tracking contributions to two main opposition committees. Most of the money to these groups has come from extremely large contributions from a handful of donors. Charles Munger Jr., son of the former Berkshire Hathaway vice chairman, contributed more than $32 million to the Hold Politicians Accountable PAC. 170 individuals or organizations gave $100 or more. Small dollar contributions have made up $7,500 of the total raised. The Congressional Leadership Fund has given $5 million to the Stop Sacramento's Power Grab Committee. That was Who's Spending on Prop 50 Redistricting Battle by Gabriel Lamar Lemie and Sandhya Kamahampati. From the Los Angeles Times, Sunday, October 12, 2025. Right, this one is from the California section, the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, October 15, 2025. Ballot design prompts theories that election is rigged by Seema Mehta. California Secretary of State Shirley Weber on Monday pushed back against a torrent of misinformation on social media sites claiming that the mail-in ballots for the state's November 4th special election are purposefully designed to disclose how people voted. Weber, the state's top elections official, denied claims by some Republicans and far-right partisans that holes on ballot envelopes allow officials to see how Californians voted on Proposition 50, the ballot measure about redistricting. The small holes on ballot envelopes are an accessibility feature to allow sight-impaired voters to orient themselves to where they are required to sign the envelope, Weber said in a statement. Weber said voters can insert ballots in return envelopes in a manner that doesn't reveal how they voted or could cast ballots in person at vote stations, some of which will open soon for early voting. Weber's decision to set the record straight was prompted by conspiracy theories exploding online alleging that mail ballots received by 23 million Californians in recent days are purposefully designed to reveal the votes of people who oppose the measure. If California voters vote no on Gavin Newsom's redistricting plan, it will show their answer through a hole in the envelope, libs of TikTok said on X on Sunday, a post that has 4.8 million views. All Democrats do is cheat. GOP Texas Senator Ted Cruz earlier retweeted a similar post that has been viewed more than 840,000 times, and Republican California gubernatorial candidate Steve Hilton, a conservative commentator, called for the November special election to be suspended because of the alleged ballot irregularities. The allegation about the ballots, which has been raised by Republicans during previous California elections, stems from the holes in mail ballot envelopes that were created to help visually impaired voters and allow election workers to make sure ballots have been removed from envelopes. The election was called for by Governor Gavin Newsom and other Democrats in an effort to counter President Trump urging GOP-led states, notably Texas, to redraw their congressional districts before next year's midterm election to boost GOP ranks in the House and Boutros' his ability to enact his agenda during his final 2 years in office. California Democrats responded by proposing a rare mid-decade redrawing of California's 52 congressional boundaries to increase Democratic representation in Congress. Congressional districts are typically drawn once a decade by an independent state commission created by voters in 2010. Nearly 600,000 Californians have already returned mail ballots as of Monday evening, according to a ballot tracker created by Political Data, a voter data firm that is led by Democratic strategist Paul Mitchell, who drew the proposed congressional boundaries on the November ballot. Republican leaders in California who oppose the ballot measure have expressed concern about the ballot conspiracy theories, fearing the claims may suppress Republicans and others from voting against Proposition 50. Please don't panic, people, about something that is easily addressed by turning their ballot around, Roxanne Hodge, the chair of the Los Angeles County Republican Party, posted on X. We need every no vote, and we need them now. Jessica Milan Patterson, The former chair of the state GOP, who was leading one of the two main committees opposing Proposition 50, compared not voting early to sitting on the sidelines of a football game until the third quarter. I understand why voters would be concerned when they see holes in their envelopes, because your vote is your business. It's the bedrock of our system, being able to vote by secret ballot, she said in an interview. That being said, the worst thing you can do if you are unhappy with the way things are here in California is not vote. So I will continue to promote early voting and voting by mail. It's always been a core principle for me. That was ballot design prompts theories that election is rigged by Seema Mehta from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, October 15, 2025. All right, here's one more. From the city and state section of the Los Angeles Times for Wednesday, October 15, 2025, Obama ad promotes Prop 50, Democracy is on the Ballot, by Seema Mehta. As Californians start voting on Democrats' effort to boost their ranks in Congress, former President Obama warned that democracy is in peril, and he urged voters to support Proposition 50 in a television ad that started airing Tuesday. California, the whole nation is counting on you, Obama says in the 30-second ad, which the main Proposition 50 campaign began broadcasting Tuesday across the state. Democracy is on the ballot November 4th. The spot is part of a multi-million dollar ad buy promoting the congressional redistricting ballot measure through the election. Proposition 50 was spearheaded by Governor Gavin Newsom and other California Democratic leaders this summer after President Trump urged GOP-led states, notably Texas, to redraw their congressional districts to boost the number of Republicans elected to the House in next year's midterm election in an effort to continue enacting his agenda during his final years in office. Republicans want to steal enough seats in Congress to rig the next election and wield unchecked power for two more years, Obama says in the ad, which includes footage of ICE raids. With Prop 50, you can stop Republicans in their tracks. Prop 50 puts our elections back on a level playing field, preserves independent redistricting over the long term, and lets the people decide. Return your ballot today. Congressional districts were long drawn in smoke-filled chambers by partisans focused on protecting their party's power and incumbents. But good government groups and elected officials, notably former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, have fought to take the drawing of congressional boundaries out of the hands of politicians, to end gerrymandering and create more competitive districts. Obama, long a supporter of ending gerrymandering, has already endorsed the ballot measure. In California, these districts have been drawn by an independent commission created by voters in 2010, which is why state Democrats have to go to the ballot box to seek a mid-decade partisan redistricting that could improve their party's chances in five of the district's 52 congressional districts. The ad featuring Obama, who spoke Monday on comedian Mark Maron's final podcast about Trump's policies testing the nation's values, appears on Californians' televisions after mail ballots were sent to the state's 23 million registered voters last week. The proposition's prospects are uncertain. It's about an obscure topic that few Californians know about, and off-year elections traditionally have low voter turnout. Still, more than $150 million has been contributed to three main committees supporting and opposing the proposition, in addition to millions more funding other efforts. Obama's not the only famous person to appear in ads about Proposition 50. In September, Schwarzenegger, who championed the creation of the Independent Redistricting Commission while in office, has campaigned for similar reforms across the nation since then, was featured in ads opposing the measure ballot. The November ballot measure. He described Proposition 50 as favoring entrenched politicians instead of voters. That is what they want to do, is take us backwards. This is why it is important for you to vote no on Proposition 50, the Hollywood celebrity and former governor said in the ad, which was filmed last month while he spoke to USC students. The Constitution does not start with we, the politicians. It starts with we, the people. Democracy. We've got to protect it, and we've got to go and fight for it. That was Obama ad promotes Prop 50, Democracy is on the Ballot, by Seema Mehta, from the City and State section of the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, October 15, 2025. All right, let's go on to other miscellaneous news here. This is from the perspective section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Republicans' views on U.S. have soured, poll finds, by Thomas Beaumont and Lindley Sanders. Des Moines. Republicans' outlook on the direction of the country has soured dramatically, according to an APNORC poll that was conducted shortly after the September 10 shooting death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. The share of Republicans who see the country headed in the right direction has fallen sharply in recent months, according to the September survey by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. Today, only about half of the in the GOP see the nation on the right course, down from 70% in June. The shift is even more glaring among Republican women and the party's under 45 crowd. Overall, about one quarter of Americans say things in the country are headed in the right direction, down from about 40% in June. Democrats and independents didn't shift meaningfully. Interviews with Republicans who took the poll suggest that political violence and worries about social discord are playing a role in the shift after summit that saw killings of figures on both sides of the political spectrum, although they also mentioned concerns including jobs, household costs, and crime. I've spent a lot of time worrying about the worsening political discourse and now the disturbing assassinations, said Chris Barr, a 42-year-old Republican from suburban Houston. If you'd have talked to me 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have brought it up as a main concern, but more of a gnawing feeling, the software administrator said. It's something I've been thinking about, but now it's violence, while before it was just this sense of animosity and division. Views of the country's direction tend to be fairly stable, but major events sometimes shake partisans' feelings even when their party is in power. Democrats, for example, were more likely to say the U.S. was headed in the wrong way after the Supreme Court in June 2022 overturned Roe v. Wade, the landmark decision that established a federal right to abortion. Democrat Joe Biden was president. But the GOP decline in optimism, especially among younger Republicans and GOP women, is noteworthy. The drop in Republicans who see the country headed in the right direction is bigger than the decline between October 2020 and December 2020 after President Trump, a Republican, lost his re-election bid. It's more similar in scope to the decline that occurred in the first 2 months of the COVID-19 pandemic. Among Republicans younger than 45, the decline is particularly glaring. 61% say the country is headed in the wrong direction, a spike of 30 percentage points since June, the last time the question was asked. 42-year-old truck driver Mustafa Robinson, a Republican, is troubled mostly because by the cost of living, but he has been increasingly bothered by what he wishes was a stronger sense of national security. It's like you think you're heading in the right direction with your career and your job, but everything around you is going up in price. It seems like you can't catch a break, said Robinson, a married father of three who lives in Delaware County, just southwest of Philadelphia. But we are also supposed to be united as a country and coming together, and we are not. I'm so perplexed how we're not on the same page about anything so bad that these people are being shot. Kirk, who started the Arizona-based political organization Turning Point USA and has been a leader rallying young conservatives for Trump, died September 10 after he was shot during an outdoor event at Utah Valley University. On June 14, Democrat Melissa Hortman, Minnesota's former state House Speaker, and her husband were shot to death in their suburban Minneapolis home in what authorities called an act of targeted political violence. In April, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and his family and guests fled the governor's mansion in Harrisburg after a man broke into the home and set a fire that caused significant damage. It happened during the Jewish holiday of Passover, and Shapiro is Jewish. Last year, Trump was the target of an assassination attempt during an election campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where a gunman's bullet grazed his ear. Worried about political violence aren't new for many Americans. Last October, an APNORC poll found that 42% of U.S. adults were extremely or very concerned about the possibility of increased political violence directed at political figures or election officials in the aftermath of the presidential election. Trump has blamed the radical left for Kirk's killing and has discussed pursuing progressive groups in response, including classifying some groups as domestic terrorists, ordering racketeering investigations, and revoking tax-exempt status for some. GOP women's view of the nation's course has shifted almost as much as younger Republicans, according to the poll. About three-quarters of Republican women say the country is going in the wrong direction, up from 27% in June. By comparison, 56% of Republican men say the country is going the wrong way, up from 30% in June. Not all of the people who think the U.S. is on a worrying trajectory have political violence at the top of their minds. Jocelyn Yurchak, 55, from Northeast Pennsylvania, ticked off a list of problems she feels have put the United States on a downward path. Yurchak, a warehouse worker going back to school for business, says good jobs are harder to find and require longer commutes. She is bothered by illegal immigration, though she believes Trump has begun to make inroads, and worries about criminal drug activity in her area. Asked about Kirk and other political targets, Yurchak attributed the episodes to a broader fraying of the nation's social fabric. "It's all the violence, not just political. There's just so much crime in the country. It's disgusting," Yurchak said. "Nobody has respect for anybody anymore. It's sad." Like others, Minnesota Republican Jeremy Geiske first noted economic uncertainty as the chief reason for his wrong track opinion before circling back without prompting to what he called all the political poison. "We're at each other's throats," the 47-year-old product manager from Rogers, just north of Minneapolis. "This viciousness on both sides. We have villainized others, like we're on the brink of social collapse. Is Kirk the straw that breaks the camel's back, or sets off a powder keg? It's on everyone's mind." The AP NORC poll of 1,183 adults was conducted September 11 through the 15th using a sample drawn from NORC's probability-based AmeriSpeak panel, which is designed to be representative of the U.S. population. The margin of sampling error for adults overall is plus or minus 3.8 percentage points. That was Republicans' Views on U.S. Have Soured Poll Finds by Thomas Beaumont and Lindley Sanders from the Perspective section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 22, 2025. Beaumont and Sanders write for the Associated Press. Sanders reported from Washington. Here's another poll article from the Nation section of the Los Angeles Times, Wednesday, September 24, 2025. Poll finds legal immigration gaining support. Few want cuts to lawful migration, citing economic growth as a benefit. By Adriana Gomez-Ligon and Amelia Thompson-DeVoe. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. As President Trump's administration imposes new restrictions on the legal immigration system, U.S. adults are more likely than they were a year ago to think these immigrants benefit the country, according to a new poll. The survey from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research finds that Americans are more likely than they were in March 2024 to say it's a major benefit that people who come to the U.S. legally contribute to economic growth and help American companies get the expertise of skilled workers. The survey also shows that Americans are less likely than they were in January to say the number of legal immigrants in the U.S. should be reduced. Slightly fewer than half of Americans say the number should remain the same, a similar percentage from earlier this year. At the same time, perceptions of illegal immigration haven't shifted meaningfully. Americans continue to see fewer benefits from people who come to the U.S. illegally, and they're more likely to see major risks from these immigrants, including the concerns that they'll commit crimes while in the U.S. Trump has focused much of his attention on arresting and deporting those in the country illegally, but new screenings, vetting, and increased costs are also impacting people who want to come to the U.S. legally to work or study. On Friday, Trump signed a proclamation to overhaul the H-1B visa program, one of the most common pathways for highly skilled foreign workers to require a $100,000 fee for applications. The application fee was previously $215 plus other relatively normal processing charges. The Trump administration is also subjecting green card applicants to anti-Americanism screenings, and students applying for visas now need to adhere to social media vetting. Even Republicans are less likely to say legal immigration should be reduced than they were earlier this year, and more likely to say it should remain as is. Philip Steers of St. Petersburg, Florida, is a Republican and feels the U.S. makes it too difficult for people to migrate legally. His nephew married a woman from Cambodia, and they have been trying for months to secure a spouse visa. If you're pushing all those people who are illegal out, why not make it easier for people who want to come here legally, said Steers, 76. We need to speed up the process for those who want to come here to benefit our country. While slightly fewer than half of U.S. adults say the number of legal immigrants should stay as it is, about one quarter say the number of legal immigrants should be reduced a lot or a little. That marks a decrease from January, when about one third said this. The drop is largely driven by Republicans. About 3 in 10 Republicans now say that legal immigration should be reduced, down from 45% in January. About 3 in 10 U.S. adults say the number of legal immigrants to the U.S. should be increased a lot or a little, up slightly from January, when 24% of Americans wanted an increase in legal immigration. If you don't have immigration as a culture, the culture will stagnate. You have to have that balance, Steers says. Americans are more likely to see major benefits from people who come to the U.S. legally and less likely to see major risks compared with an AP NORC poll conducted early last year. About 6 in 10 U.S. adults say a major benefit of immigrants in the country legally is that they contribute to economic growth, which went up from about 4 in 10 in March 2024. Similarly, 51% of U.S. adults say a major benefit of legal immigration is that American companies get the expertise of skilled workers in fields like science and technology, compared with 41% in March 2024. Carlos Gonzalez, who was born in the U.S. to Panamanian parents, said immigrants provide a lot to the economy of the United States. They bring different ideas that help the economy, said Gonzalez, 53, a Democrat from Waterbury, Connecticut, adding his mother served as a military nurse in Vietnam. A lot of people don't realize that when they do come over here, they try to enrich the country and not take away from it. Some of the perceived benefits are economic, but some are cultural, with about 46% saying a major benefit of legal immigrants is that they enrich American culture and values, up from 38% in the previous poll. Jeff Witoszak of El Paso identifies as a moderate Republican and supports Trump's efforts to conduct large-scale deportations of people in the country illegally, saying he does not think the focus needs to be on those who have committed violent crimes. Witoszak is married to a woman from Mexico who came to the U.S. legally when she was a child. Coming here illegally, that's a crime in and of itself, Witoszak said. They didn't allow due process coming in. They don't need due process going out. Americans tend to see greater risks and smaller benefits from immigrants who are in the country illegally, and these views largely haven't shifted since last year. About 4 in 10 U.S. adults now say it's a major benefit that immigrants in the country illegally will take jobs Americans don't want, up from about one-third last year. And 42% say that immigrants in the country illegally contribute to economic growth, and 32% believe that they enrich American culture and values. Those findings have remained steady since last year. About half of U.S. adults say it's a major risk that immigrants in the country illegally will burden welfare and safety net programs. That was Pope Finds Legal Immigration Gaining Support by Adriana Gomez-Licon and Amelia Thompson DeVau, from the Nation section of the Los Angeles Times for Wednesday, September 24th, 2025. Licon and Thomas DeVau write for the Associated Press. All right, let's conclude with a profile article of the late John Burton from the California section of the Los Angeles Times, Monday, September 22nd, 2025. He fought for the powerless the way politicians should. John Burton spent decades shaping California policy to help the overlooked, by George Skelton, columnist. John Burton was the unique sort of political leader we need much more in today's hate-spewing politics. First, he dedicated his life to fighting for a cause that earned him only personal satisfaction and absolutely no political gain. The powerless poor, particularly the aged, blind, and disabled. These aren't folks with any money to donate to political coffers. They're not members of unions harboring large piles of campaign cash. They don't volunteer to walk precincts before elections. Many can barely walk. They're not organized. More likely, they live lonely lives, and they never heard of John Burton. Burton, and only Burton, had these people's backs in Sacramento's halls of power for many years, and no one has taken his place. Second, this bleeding-heart San Francisco liberal instinctively liked and befriended many political opposites with whom he developed working relationships to achieve his and their goals. He loudly denounced their conservative positions on issues, but not them personally, in contrast to today's ugly, clique-driven, opportunistic American politics. Right-wingers? I never held that against anybody, Burton writes in his recently released autobiography. I yell because I care, the passion of politics and of John Burton, California's liberal warrior. Like you never know when you might need a right-winger for something. And when you do, it's best to give them something in return. And it's even better when what they want is something you don't really care about, something that sometimes that's the way S gets done in politics. When it gets done, which is almost never these days in Congress, things might get done in Sacramento, for good or bad, because Democrats wield ironclad control over all branches of government, unlike when Burton was a legislature during decades that required bipartisan compromise. Burton was infamously foul-mouthed and often rude. But colleagues, staffers, lobbyists, and reporters rolled their eyes and adjusted. Okay, so you couldn't always quote his exact words in a family newspaper or on TV. At heart, Burton was a softy and extrovert who genuinely liked people of all political persuasions. And they liked him because he was a straight shooter whose word was golden, the number one asset for most anyone in politics. Softy? Longtime Burton spokesman David Sebeck recalls this incident when the lawmaker was Senate President Pro Tem, the number two most powerful office in the Capitol. There was a guy who was pretty severely disabled who would go with difficulty using crutches from office to office, delivering copies of these multi-page conspiracy theory-leaded packets he put together to all 120 legislatures. There were some typewritten parts, some handwritten, some Xeroxed photos. One day, John stopped him and said, "From now on, you deliver one copy to my office." After that, all the legislatures got a copy of these packets stamped, compliments of John Burton. Most Capitol denizens, if they noticed him at all, probably dismissed this packet-carding conspiracy theorist on crutches as a sad kook. But he's the type who was Burton's purpose in life to help. Burton, 92, died September 7 at a hospice facility in San Francisco. The Times ran an excellent page one obituary on Burton, written by former Times staff writer Dan Moraine. It covered the base as well, a pro-labor lawmaker instrumental in shaping California politics over six decades on topics as varied as welfare, foster care, mental health, auto emissions, and guns. Burton was integral to a powerful political organization founded by his brother, U.S. Representative Phil Burton, that included two of John's closest pals, future San Francisco mayors George Moscone and Willie Brown. The organization kickstarted the political careers of future U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Vice President Kamala Harris, and Governor Gavin Newsom. John Burton left Congress in 1982 to fight cocaine addiction and remained clean and sober the rest of his life. He was re-elected to the legislature in 1988, ultimately chosen as Senate leader, and termed out in 2004. Then he became state Democratic Party chairman for the second time. When Burton died, I was recovering from an illness and missed out writing about him. That bothered me, so I'm doing it now. I got to know Burton when he was first elected to the Assembly with Willie Brown in 1964. Both were fast learners about how the Capitol worked, and ultimately each was elected leader of his house. Sometimes it all takes to succeed in politics is to make sure somebody has a nice view of Capitol Park and an extra secretary, Burton writes in his autobiography of rounding up enough Senate votes to become leader. In the entertaining book, co-written with journalist Andy Ferrillo, Burton writes extensively about the neediest of the needy. My district includes a ton of single-room occupancy hotels south of Market Street that were filled with people who cooked off hot plates and had to go down the hall to the bathroom. They survived under federal and state assistance checks. Folks, that'll do it for this edition of Voter Information. So keep it right here for any elections and elected officials right here in the city, the state, and the nation. Until next time, everybody, this is your election guru, Mark Braun, saying to you, happy voting and peace.